you want more from Roy than you do from me.
Well, I want from both of you, so this will be perfect. So this is Jackie, and I'm from the Desert Caballeros Western Museum, and it's May 17th, 2016, and I'm in the home of Roy and Kathy Moore. Thank you so much again for having me here. It's a great drive, and I'm excited to hear your stories. So let's start a little bit about you both, your backgrounds. Where, again, tell me where you were born, Roy. We'll start with Roy. Where were you born?
I was born in Wickenburg, in the old Copeland Hospital.
Oh, okay.
Which was really right there at the bridge. The bridge wasn't there then.
Oh, really? It wasn't. Wow. And where were you born?
I was born in Prescott on 315 Maple Street.
Wow. Is it still there?
Yes.
Yes? The hospital? Or you were born at home?
I was born at home.
Wow. And where did you first go to school?
In Aguila.
Okay. And you went to school through middle school, through high school at Aguila?
No. I went through eighth grade at Aguila.
Okay.
And then 1 year in Parker and 3 years in Wickenburg.
Wow. Wow. And where did you first go to school, Kathy?
I went to school in Peoples Valley.
Okay.
And then I graduated from Prescott.
Okay, great. And Peoples Valley, the school is still kind of there.
It's a historical society.
Yes, I like driving by it.
Well, we have a nice, good historical society, and my sister and brother-in-law are very active in it because they live up there.
Okay, great. So we talked about it a little bit, but Roy, when did your family first come to Wickenburg?
First come to Wickenburg?
Yes, your family.
Well, to Aguila.
Or to Aguila, I guess, right?
Yeah. In 1900.
Wow. And it was your grandfather? Great-grandfather?
No,
grandfather. Yeah, what was his name?
John Moore.
John Moore. Wow. And when did your family first come to Prescott?
They didn't come to Prescott. They came, they were rural and they had ranches. And I'm not actually sure. I think 1916 they came because my mother's father was ill and he lived in a higher elevation, and they said, go move to Arizona.
Yes, I hear that a lot.
And my mother's mother had a sister and brother that lived here.
Okay.
And so they came to Peoples Valley, and they homesteaded there, And so they've been there ever since. And my father's family had cattle. They moved from Texas to Springerville, that area. And then they moved down to Yava, which is near Hillside, with their cattle. They moved their cattle down there they came to Arizona about 1910.
Okay. And they came down for their cattle because they were ranchers.
They brought their cattle down because Springerville, you know, has, in that area, has severe winters.
Oh, okay.
And they had friends down here, too, called the Reagans. And I guess Ed wrote and told them this is a pretty good area. Yeah. And so they came down.
Okay, great. And Roy, your grandfather came down for the same reason, for the ranching?
Yeah.
And where did he come from?
They come originally from the Ground Round Valley.
Wow.
Of of Idaho.
Okay.
Idaho in Oregon.
In Oregon.
Yeah.
And actually, part of the family stayed in Boise City.
Yeah, and Washington and Idaho.
And we got a letter there in the family, our newspaper, where this one be a great, great aunt of mine come from Salt Lake City to Boise, Idaho on the stage, and they didn't have any Indian trouble.
and actually, she had come from back in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
That his family first, the Moore family, had come from Pennsylvania, stopped in Iowa for a while, and then they moved to Idaho as city, and or right around there. And Roy's great grandfather was born there, okay. John Smore.
Okay.
And then he married this girl that from over there by the Owey Dams, with Round Valley. It's called LeGrand now.
Okay.
And in 1876, 1874. His family kept a good record.
Oh, wow, great.
They had a real bad winter.
Okay.
And before that, they'd sent the grandfather on the mother's side, Porter was their name, and he'd come down to around Globe and have you ever been to Roosevelt Lake?
I have not. Dam? No, not yet.
Okay. Well, he is in that area.
Okay.
And he said he found the most wonderful place for cattle. And so he wrote the family. And John Smore had married Celeste Porter.
Okay.
And they started, they told him they'd give him a third of their herd if he would lead the cattle,
yeah,
down, yeah, the cowboys, uh-huh, and what have you. And Roy's grandfather, they said, was the family, it says he was born in a snowbank on the way down.
Yeah, wow. That's quite a story. Yeah.
So they came down and they crossed the river, the Colorado River, in 1876.
Wow.
They came into Arizona.
Wow.
And my grandfather was 7 months old when they crossed.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. What are your, I heard your grandparents' name. Is your grandfather, what is your father's name? What are your parents' names?
My parents is Joseph Kearney Moore.
Okay.
Calling Kearney.
Always went by Kearney.
Okay.
And my mother's name, they moved down from Oregon to Aguila.
Okay.
And they was going to pump water there, uh-huh, and raise cattle and milk. Well, that didn't work out.
Oh, no. What happened?
The most, with the old type engine, and pump jet, and stuff, the most water they could get was 60 gallons a minute.
Oh.
And that would only irrigate 7 acres.
Yeah.
Well, 7 acres wouldn't produce much for milk cow.
Yeah, no, not at all.
So they would prospect in between, and they found the Robson Mine, where Robson Mining were.
Uh-huh.
They found that mine.
Okay. Nelamita.
And Nella.
They named it. Oh.
Well,
go ahead.
Originally, first they called it the the maple leaf.
Gold leaf.
And then the gold leaf. And then mother and her sister would always stay there working the mine.
Oh, wow.
And trapping and stuff up there.
Uh-huh.
So everyone started calling it the Nelamita.
Nelamita Mine.
Yeah.
And the Historical Society building there is still named the Nelamita.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Wow. And that's for your mother's name and her sister's name? Is that what it's named after? Okay.
Yeah.
That's very nice. And what were your parents' names, Kathy?
My mother's name was Minnie Mae Sorrells.
Okay.
And my father's name was Boyd Davis.
Okay. And did you have siblings?
I have half-sisters.
Half-sisters. Okay. How many do you have?
I have two younger sisters.
Okay. And how many siblings do you have, Roy?
None.
No siblings. You're an only child.
Yeah.
Yay. I would like to be an only child. Some days. And what part of town? So your parents came and started in Nagila. And when did they move? Did they stay in Nagila until you were grown? Or did they?
Well, yes. Other than at times we moved her. Our cattle, like over to Parker, and that's why I did 1 year of high school in Parker.
Oh, okay.
With our cattle down there.
Okay.
And then I finished 3 years of high school in Wickenburg.
Okay.
And everyone tried to talk me into going on to college. But I decided I wanted to go in the Marine Corps. Instead.
Okay. Wow.
So I spent 3 years in the Marine Corps.
Oh, wow. Great.
That was during the Korean War.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. Okay. And you you were in People's Valley, your family, and they were also ranching?
My grandmother built her ranch, built the ranch. My grandfather died, and she built the ranch up. Until it was a very prosperous ranch. But my mother and father divorced.
Okay.
And I went with my mother. And so my second father worked in mines. But since he worked in the mines, it's always so far from any schools. I stayed with my grandmother and went to People's Valley School.
Okay. Oh, that's why you went there.
And then in the Second World War, stepfather got a chance, Jack Harrison, got a chance to, well, not a chance, he was offered a job because of now you have to understand, because you see all the freeways. There was no freeways.
Okay.
The main road through north and south out through Wick, Arizona was Highway 89.
Okay.
And the main road east and west was Highway 60.
Okay.
And so he was, they asked him, and then he was froze to it during the Second World War, if he would take, manage, be the foreman or whatever they call him, and take care of the road from Wilhoit to the county line at Wickenburg.
Okay.
And that's the way the convoys came.
Oh, wow.
That moved through, that went to Southern California.
Okay.
And so I went back. I was in school in People's Valley. And then everybody and so many people, small farmers and things in Peoples Valley, went to join the work in the factories because they could make more money and work and help the war effort for the Second World War. That we went from 12 students in Peoples Valley down to 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Arnell had gone from a 2-room schoolhouse down to about 15 or 16 students. But anyway, we had to close our school at Peoples Valley, and I was... had to go to, I graduated from 8th grade in Yarnell.
Okay. And then you went up to Prescott for your...
Then my family, the war was over, and my father was released, and we went up to, we moved to Prescott for him to get a different job than the highway.
Okay.
There was no school buses. Was it a school bus when you were?
No.
Oh, yeah, you had to board in Wickenburg there for.
Yeah, I had to board in Wickenburg for 2 years.
Oh.
Before I got a car and could drive myself.
Okay. So you just stayed in Wickenburg while you were going to school?
Yeah.
Okay. And you had school buses?
What?
Did you have a school bus? No,
there's no school
no
buses.
No car, no nothing.
Well, I mean, it was easier to move to Prescott.
Yes.
Because they had a house up there.
Okay.
And so we moved to Prescott, and they had school buses in Prescott.
Yes.
But not out.
Not in the country.
No.
No. So, do you remember, how do you remember your childhoods? Your childhoods are kind of a little different with where you lived.
Give your childhood first.
What do you remember about your childhood? What stands out most about your childhood, Roy?
Oh, probably hunting and fishing.
Yes.
And shooting rabbits. And... I tried killing my first deer when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
My mother had shot and knocked this deer down.
Uh-huh.
And it fell near me where I was. So I'm jumping out and beating this deer over the head with a rock about it.
Oh, no.
And it's hooking at
me. Oh, no.
Mother grabbed me by the back of the neck, and she swatted me good.
Oh, wow.
His mother was quite a hunter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. Did you hunt with other boys, too, around, you know, did you get together with other kids around the area, or?
Yeah. The Valettis.
The Valettis? Okay.
From Aguila quite a bit.
Okay.
And the Herskowitzes some.
Okay. Great. Those are fun memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about you, Kathy? What stands out most about your childhood?
Well, we lived back, you know, on a ranch, and I played an awful lot by myself. But when we lived in, when I was in the sixth and seventh grade, and we lived at, I lived with my mom and dad at the road camp. It was a beautiful place. They tore it all down. It had lots of trees, and you can't believe.
Where was that?
In Peoples Valley.
Okay.
And I had got my father had come to Prescott. And, well, I'm the only child on my father's side.
Yeah.
And he bought me a beautiful bicycle. Oh, I love that bicycle. I rode it all over Prescott. I rode it all over, all over people up here. So I rode from the road camp, which is what, about 2 miles?
Yeah.
about 2 miles into the school every day.
Okay.
Until had to close the school, and then we had to drive to Darnell. But then I wandered all over that country. I had a big, well, about that size, white dog. And my white dog and I wandered all over the country. And up in People's Valley, on the Hazes, there's a place that used to be called the Hamilton's, because that was one of the first pioneers there, but I don't know. They moved on. Anyway, they had planted apple trees. And so I would climb up in Mr. Hayes's apple trees when it's nice and green and even ripe and pick me some apples and what have you. But I wandered all over that country with my dog.
Oh, wow. And did you have neighbors that were close by, or were they pretty far in between?
No, there wasn't any neighbors.
No neighbors. How about you, Roy? Did you have neighbors
in Aguila? The closest neighbor was in Aguila. We lived 2 miles out.
Okay.
North of Aguila.
Yes.
And the other family that I neighbored with, a lot of Aleti, they lived 4 miles out.
Okay. Wow. Not like nowadays, where your neighbors are a stone throw away.
Yeah.
What do you... we've talked about the schools that you went to. Do you have a most memorable time in school, or a most memorable teacher in the schools that you went to?
You want to talk? Well, when I was in the sixth grade, we had a teacher called Miss Story, and the early pioneers into People's Valley was called Janungs, and the Janungs had a big family, and the oldest daughter wanted to be a doctor, and well, they educated all of their children in college way back then. And she was a medical doctor, and she practiced in San Francisco. And Dr. Janung retired back to People's Valley. And so Miss Story had made acquaintance with Dr. Janung, and we went over to Dr. Had a field trip over to Dr. Janung's the old family house before it burned down. And Dr. Janung showed us how they had a secret escape route because of the Indians in their house.
Wow.
And they had a fireplace like this, and then next to it was like a bookcase. And that bookcase, she did something, and that bookcase opened, and there was this hole, and they had a tunnel out, and a hit, and Mr. Janung always had grew corn, and so if they had a Indian scare, they went out and they could close their bookcase, and they went out and laid in the cornfields.
Wow.
And there was one little Indian girl. We had a small reservation up there, and she played with the Janungs. And the Apache Indians were coming, and she went and told the Janungs. And then she could never go home. So the Janungs raised her, sent her to school, and she lived with them until she died.
Oh, wow.
And that was quite something.
Yeah.
But then Dr. Janung and my teacher were got to be such good friends. When it got to be spring, she'd say, "Well, we're going to on another field trip." So we would go over to the creek. It's the Bottle Creek, and water was running all the time. And Dr. Janung and Miss Story would sit and visit, and we would play down in the creek until it was about time to go home.
Wow.
And then we'd go home. Oh, go back to school.
Yeah.
In the afternoon. That was the afternoon deal.
Wow.
That was one of the things I remember.
Yeah, that's fun. And what about you, Roy? What is one of your most memorable experiences at school? A memorable teacher or a time?
I think Jack Fishleader was my most memorable. He tried to get me to go on to college, and then he went on and become
a high school teacher.
He was a high school teacher
in Wickenburg.
Okay.
In Wickenburg, and he went on to I don't know San Francisco or someplace. And he became one of the top educators over there.
Wow.
And so in our school in Aguila, my most memorable teacher was Lorene Powell.
Lorene Powell?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was raised right there near Eagle Mountain.
Okay.
And, of course, I don't know if it's my birthday or what. Anyway, we got paddled, and somebody got hold of paddle and was paddling everyone out. Till Lorene got up that paddle, and boy, did she make some kids. Run.
Yeah, you can't paddle anymore.
And Lorene Powell was, the great-grandmother of Lonnie Powell that owns the tire company that's on...
Okay. I know what you're talking about, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it the
best? That's the same Powell family.
Okay. Wow. So. That's great. That's a great... memory too. The fear of a paddle. Did your families go to church in this area?
My family, more or less, would read the Bible.
Okay.
And that was
your church.
There's no church.
There's no church around here at that time.
Not around people's valley.
Okay. So. Let's see.
But like you said, we were taught by the Bible.
Yes. Reading at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did your families, we kind of a little bit covered this already, but did your families know some of the pioneers that had come to this area, whether it's Aguila or People's Valley, just long-time standing pioneers like the teacher or the doctor you spoke about? Are there any other pioneers of this area that your family was close with and knew of?
My grandfather was quite close with Charlie Duché.
Okay.
The gunman that died when he was about 82.
Okay.
And he said on his deathbed,
talking about Charlie Duché.
Yeah. He said, "Well, I've killed 36 men that I know, not counting Indians."
Wow.
And when we got the report, when they did his body scan, there was no 2 inches of his skin unscarred with knife scars or bullet wounds.
Wow. That's a neat story.
And Charlie Boucher. What was that war?
Tewksbury the Graham.
Yeah, up on the Ram.
Mm-hmm.
He was the gunman for the
Grahams.
Oh, okay.
And the day that the young Graham got up early and didn't wake up Charlie Boucher and went to town in Tempe, he was killed.
Oh.
Didn't take a gun with him.
Wow.
And he didn't take Charlie Boucher.
Yeah.
And
that was after the war. Okay. It was over.
And then Charlie Boucher went after those that had killed him, and he killed all but one of them.
Wow. Revenge.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did you two meet?
Well, my uncle was head of the Game and Fish, and that's another story, but my sister's, I mean, my mother's brother, just younger than her, he was head of Game and Fish for Arizona, and he lived down in Phoenix, of course, and I was going to school at Flagstaff, it's NAU now, but it was ASU Northern at that time, and I had some business, and so I think I flew down to, and I was staying with my uncle there while I took care of everything, and while I was down there, staying there, well, his mother and dad, Nell and Kearney Moore, came by, and they said, they told, they were great friends of my uncles and aunts, and they said that their son was in the Marine Corps and just graduated from the boot camp, and he got his first leave, and he was coming home, so my uncle's family all decided to go with his mom and dad out to greet Roy, and so I went too. Well, Roy had a little black cocker spaniel that he had raised from a bottle.
Oh,
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And so he was with Roy's mom and dad, and so I offered to take care of Butch the dog, and I was walking him out on the grass. At that time, you didn't land and go inside. You landed and came out on the grass.
Yes.
And I was out walking him out on the grass while they were greeting Roy and what have you. And then Roy wanted to see his dog. And so he came and found Butchie and me. And that's how we were introduced over that black dog. And we got to talking, and Roy said, well, it's kind of lonesome over there. And I said, well, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So we exchanged addresses and started writing each other. And when Roy came home on leave, we'd get together.
Uh-huh.
And so we dated a year and a half, and he gave me a ring, an engagement ring. And then he was going overseas, his whole battalion. They knew he was going to get to go.
Yeah.
He had volunteered 16 drafts to go, and they had kept him because he was a good instructor and a good sharpshooter and all that good stuff. And he knew if the battalion went, he'd get to go. So we decided to get married. And we got married November the 22nd of that year.
And what year was that?
1952.
Okay.
and went on a honeymoon and had a week's honeymoon at right. We picked that time because could have the weekend, and then Thanksgiving was there, and so I could get that. I only had to take 2 days off of school.
Yeah.
And so we had our honeymoon, and he went back over and tell him what happened.
Got over there, and here was a star by my neck. And I said, "What's that star for?" "Oh, didn't we tell you? You were picked to form a new battalion."
Oh, no.
One of 10 men out of that old division there that was picked up.
Wow.
But then they had truce over there, so they didn't get to go. And I was happy because I packed $300 all the time, kept it out. I was going to buy a camera, a fishing rod, and something else there in Tokyo.
Okay.
And they went through.
Yeah.
And went through.
Wow.
So I never did get this bed.
Oh, no.
And so he was over there with his, and I was, that was my last year of school. And I was over at college, and we rode each other because they sent him to a special school.
On atomic warfare.
Okay.
Wow.
And got to see a atom bomb go.
Wow.
So we didn't see each other much until school was out that spring.
Wow.
But he did get time to come and my graduation and then I went back to the coast with him.
Okay. And you went to California? Were you stationed in California?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And so how did you get back here? How did you establish your ranch here?
Explain how you went, how come your family wasn't in Aguila anymore.
Oh, you got a chance to lease this place with option to buy.
Okay.
And that was right after the war. That was in 1944, I guess.
Okay.
And so they moved over here and just had this one cabin here then. And
yeah, they had moved this this bunkhouse, that room.
Okay.
Over from their place, hadn't?
Yeah.
Because the guy that sold this to him was a good friend, and I guess he needed it before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so that was the room that was over here that the man that owned this property before, and that's all it was here, not all of the crowds and everything.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Then I tell her about Duck Pardee when I was.
Oh, okay. I didn't know Roy when we met, but I had seen him two different times in my lifetime. One when we were about 8 or 9.
Okay.
Roy's family was really good friends with this Doc Pardee, and Doc Pardee used to do parts.
Okay.
In Hollywood way back when, and he was well known by the movie stars over there, and he ran racehorses.
Yeah.
And Roy's mom and dad was really good friends of his. So they, when it was real hot down here, well, they would move up there and stay at Doc Pardee's.
Okay.
And I had a girlfriend that lived, oh, Doc Pardee was, what, about a mile up?
Yeah.
In Prescott, as Fairgrounds Avenue then. Now they call it Gail Gardner. But anyway, she lived at this end of that street, and everything was dirt. And Betty Lou, my best friend up there, I was up there and went to Prescott school while my youngest uncle was in high school. And Betty Lou and I were really good friends. And she lived on that street, as I say, and I had this wonderful bicycle. And she and I had been to an afternoon movie. And we were pedaling home almost to her house. And we saw two boys coming down the street. And that street was really sandy. And Betty Lou said, we just crossed a little bridge that had water on it. And Betty Lou said, I think I can beat him and go into the, cross into my driveway. I said, Betty, don't do it. You're going to get, you can't make it. And the boys weren't paying any attention. They were talking to each other and they were coming on down. And here goes Betty Lou just a peddling like everything. And she turned and her bicycle got caught in that sand. And here she was like this. And Roy looked up and there she was. And he hit her.
Oh no.
And so that was my first seeing of Roy Moore.
Yeah.
And then later in high school, I had a girlfriend named Vermel, and Vermel was always talking about this wonderful boyfriend she had in Wickenburg. This wonderful boyfriend. So one day night we were at a football game, I turned around and about three tiers up, and we used the old rodeo. We grounds,
yeah, okay,
and there was Seth Vermel and her boyfriend. I didn't even tell you what he was wearing. He was wearing a real pretty yellow T-shirt, you know, uh-huh, with collar and what have you, and Levi's. And anyway, I said, "There's Vermel with her boyfriend." That was my second sight of the guy that was. I was neither your married.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another part of that on what ended up with Doc Pardee was we used to trap wild horses here on the desert. And over here by the
pipeline?
By the pipeline was a water come in there. And they'd come into water, and they'd fenced it off with page wire so they could shut the gate.
Yeah.
Well, they come in there, and they shut the gate. And this mare and colt, and they run around there, and they hit.
Hello? I didn't get the rest of it. I have a Dell at right.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
But anyway, this mare hit that fence and broke her neck. Killed her. And here was a little colt with her.
Oh.
So we had a old Model A, I guess it was. Anyway, I had to sit with a colt in the back seat going home, and we got the ranch in the Gila, and I raised that colt on a milk bottle and carrots.
Wow.
And sugar.
Uh-huh.
And it would follow me any place. And I started riding it. Ride it and weigh about 40 pounds. Think I'd ride it around the corral. And it went on there. And as they got bigger and bigger, anyone else get on them, he'd buck them off. And finally, Dad said that was just too much. And had a guy come by that handled bucking horses at rodeos. And so he took him. I felt real bad seeing my horse go.
Yeah.
So we went up to Prescott there a little later. And Doc Pardee knew about that. But anyway, when he got there, there wasn't hardly anyone that could ride him.
Oh.
And so, Doc says, we got someone here that will ride him. And so, they motioned me come over there, and I come over and got on him. And I think it was Betty Davis that took me out and circled the ring with me, riding this horse.
Yeah.
And also, I got to meet Shirley Temple.
Wow.
And all of them while I was there.
Okay.
But
at dog parties.
Yeah.
You think of any old star that you see in the old. He probably met him.
So that was in People's Valley or Prescott?
Prescott.
Okay. So there was a lot of movie stars and movies going on in that time.
Okay, yes. And another thing, until after the Second World War, when there was started to be air transportation, everything was by either railroad or a car.
Mm-hmm.
Prescott was one of your cooler places that you could go, and it had lots of things that even then, going all summer long, there's all kinds of activities. Well, kind of like Wickenburg is now in the winter, and so the movie stars would have things to see and do and what have you. And they was good friends with Doc Pardee.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would come out and visit with him. And, of course, they were usually in the Prescott 4th of July parades and everything. And Roy was usually riding with them.
That's a good memory.
Yeah.
That's fun. So kind of bring us back to when did you decide, as a couple after the war, obviously, to come back and live here at this ranch, or did you live somewhere before you came back here?
Well, Kearney and Nell was ready to retire.
Okay.
They said.
Uh-huh.
And so we came home, but I'll have to tell you a funny thing.
Yes,
tell they had added, what, they'd add the kitchen and that back bedroom onto this deal right here.
Okay.
And this was a screen porch.
Okay.
And so Kearney was, what Kearney had decided was a game and fish in, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he was working with game and fish and so we came over one time before we moved home, before he got out, in January of 1954. And we came in the screen porch door and walked over to that door, and there's no electricity in the rural areas of Arizona at that time. They're just starting to put them after the Second World War. But unless you lived in town, there's no electricity. And so there was a cola lamp burning in there. And Roy and I walked in, and Roy knocked a little, and then he just reached, I was in front of him, and he just reached around me and opened the door. And Mother Moore was laying on a couch across the front. And she had been asleep, I guess, or dozed. And Roy opened that door, and I stepped inside, and his mother raised up with a Dillinger shotgun.
Oh, no.
Do you know what a Dillinger
is? Yes.
I told him, I said, "You're our only son. After this, you always go in first."
That's a great story. That's a great story. Your mom sounds like a strong woman.
Yes. Yes. Actually, when she was in the, you know, they had moved down for her mother's health from Oregon, and they had a dairy up there, and everything, you know, everything was very nice because it's on the ocean side.
Yes.
And Tillamook.
Yes.
They were in Tillamook.
I just moved from that area, so
okay.
I know
Okay, well,
that.
You know where Tillamook
yes.
is.
I have a great picture I'll show you after about some cows in Tillamook.
Well, actually, his mother's grandfather donated the land for the county, that wanted to be a county by itself in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and he donated the land, part of his land that he owned to, what do they call that town? Is it Tillamook? I guess so. To Tillamook to become a county seat.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So...
Yeah.
So anyway, okay.
And anyway, if you go into the historical building there.
In Tillamook.
In Tillamook. And go downstairs, they have all the pictures of the big fire and the fort. And they show one of my uncles climbing the spar tree there.
What?
And it says Leonard Rush climbing this spar tree to look over the fire.
Wow. Wow.
And the Tillamook cheese factory is right there where he originally his homestead was.
Oh, okay. I know exactly where that is. Yeah.
And then they also had a farm 8 miles up the river there. And they called it the North Fork of the Wilson River.
Okay.
That.
I know where the Wilson is there.
So anyway, the Mother Moore, when they came down here,
mm-hmm.
They had, you know, had all this moisture and what have you, and they could have farm and do everything on Oregon. Well, his grandfather had visualized that they'd come down here and make the desert bloom.
Uh-huh.
But like he told you,
there's no
he had
water.
A good well,
yeah.
And actually, Mother Moore, 40 years later, saw the desert bloom over there because they used that well and farmed over there with electricity.
Oh, wow.
And natural gas.
Yeah.
So, anyway, while they were there, they had kind of tough times because, you know, their dairy cows didn't last. And so Mother Moore, Nell, and Mita had a trap line 30 miles?
Well, I think
3 days?
3 days.
3 days trap line.
Wow.
And they trapped predators.
Yeah.
And during this 1 year, she was selected as the trapper of the year in Arizona.
Wow.
And she was tremendous.
Yeah.
And like he said, she always hunted. And so, of course, Roy always hunted, too.
Yeah. Wow.
But his mother was quite a lady. Mm. And Kearney, in his way, he was a very gentle gentleman. But he did his thing, too.
Yeah.
So, I wish we could think of things that tell you, or maybe Roy could, of the things that he did to.
Yeah.
And but it was really something else. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I walked in and like I say, they were ready to move to Congress, and so they moved into Congress, and Roy and I moved out. When we came home, we moved into this place.
Okay, and this was a screen porch.
This was a screen porch, and I think the screen porch might have gone as close as the end of the
fireplace
okay. across.
Okay.
And in the summertime, well, you know, when it was really hot, you didn't have any air conditioning.
Yeah.
And you slept out here.
Yeah.
One year, well, when we were here out here by ourselves, we were asleep one night, and the dog started barking, and here was this Mexican man, and he was saying, "Don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot," and I said, "Come on in," and he came in, and he was from Aguila, and he. And he had worked at the farms there, and then when everything was out of season, then he went to the coast and worked. And so he had come back because it's about time for Gila to that he did. And he met this couple in a bar cafe over in Aguila.
Okay.
And they got to talking, and he said he was going to go down to Wickenburg, and I don't know what he's going to do. Do you remember?
No.
Anyway, well, this couple says, "Oh, we're going to Wickenburg. We'll give you a ride." Well, he said, got in the car with them, and went down the road, and they turned off towards Congress on the cutoff.
Oh.
And he says, "Oh, no, I don't, I want to go to Wickenburg, just let me out right here, you know, I'll catch a ride." And the guy just stepped on it and went on. And so, I guess going back and forth. And finally, they came over the pass up there, and that guy says, "My wife always wanted to kill somebody, and you're it."
Yeah.
And he started slowing down his car down here. And that the man jumped out of the, opened the back door and jumped out.
Wow.
And he said he ran and hit the highway fence. And he backed up and he jumped.
Jumped it.
And you could see where he's all these cuts on him. And then he, I don't know how come he knew we were here. But anyway, maybe we had an aluminum roof.
Uh-huh.
And it was might have been shining in the moonlight.
Moonlight, yeah.
And he came up here.
Wow.
And we took him back to Aguila that night.
Wow.
But he was one scared man.
Yeah. That's a scary story.
And, oh, and see, we just had kerosene lamps. But we could see there wasn't all these trees here then. At that time, up until the 70s, we had tall bunch grass like this. And you could see that car, or a car, go back and forth, back and forth, about, what, four or five times, wasn't it, Roy?
Wow.
After he got up here.
Wow.
And so that was one poor thing.
Yeah, that's a scary story.
Yeah. And so, but that was it.
Yeah.
And when his family came here in 1776, Grandpa Porter was sick, and he was in the hospital at the McDowell's.
Okay.
Mountains, Fort McDowell.
Okay.
And so they decided that Johns and the family would come down by through Wickenburg and around and go to Fort McDowell. And then the cattle they held up at Williamson Valley up just north of Prescott. And while they was coming down here, Roy's grandmother Porter, great grandmother, yeah. Anyway, his grandfather's mother saw these the prickly pear cactus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's bloomed, mm-hmm. and then some of them had got ripe,
uh-huh.
and she always wore gloves,
uh-huh.
and so she picked some, and she almost went back to Oregon.
Oh no!
And they went down and went down the Haciampa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then around to Fort McDowell.
Okay.
That way, and then. Johns delivered the family over there, and where Roosevelt Lake Dam is, and Roosevelt Lake, in the bottom of it is a spring called Porter Spring.
Oh, okay.
And that's where they took the cattle. And Johns met the Celeste's younger brother, Thad,
uh-huh.
Thad Porter, and this older cowboy named Boyd Boyer.
A Boyd Boyer.
The cattle were getting restless, so they decided to take them, and they had met, what was his name, Al Siebert. He was a chief of the Indian Scouts. But he was Anglo, and he was over delivering messages places, and he told them that they could take the cattle through Camp Verde, and then they and then go down the valley, and then they'd have the mountains, but they could do it, to get over to where, well, I'm going to say Globe,
okay.
Over there.
Okay.
And so they started the cattle, and they were someplace around Mingus Mountain on the north side, you know, way you go around it. And they met Jaunce, his great-grandfather Jaunce, and a younger brother, Ott, a porter, coming back to help with the cattle. And so they took the cattle, and they started on down, but when they got down to the other side, you know, they're really little mountains. And they had one wagon, and the family always used oxen to pull the wagons. Mm-hmm. Well, they would take the wagon up on top, but to go down, they had to. They tied all the cowboys, I can't remember how many, each side tied the ropes to the wagon. They put the oxen on the back to hold, you know, to hold it down back, Jaunce rode that. Well, no, they all, and they led that wagon down,
mm-hmm.
And then they'd hook the oxen on and go to the next mountain, and that's the way they got them through till they got to place called Steamboat Springs, and there they met the family.
Wow.
And it was in November. By that time, and they were all glad to see each other, you know. And that night, they all went to bed, and what have you, and it looked kind of stormy, and it snowed on them that night.
Oh, no.
They said, 'cause they brought the Oregon snow down. So. So
wow.
They were there until, and Roy's great grandfather. Is that right, Roy, or is his grandfather? Was good friends of Theodore Roosevelt. I guess your grandfather.
I think great grandfather.
Great grandfather. Well, anyway, one of them was good friends of. Theodore Roosevelt, he came out.
Yeah.
And he's the one, you know, thought that should be a dam there.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm going to say grandfather's, I don't know. And Theodore Roosevelt had a mine together.
Oh, wow.
And they called it the...
The Rosemore.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so when they started flooding their land, they moved down to Tempe and Mesa area, and had farmland and ran their cattle. Actually, the Moores, Johnson, Celeste, their family, in the wintertime before, when it was cold and what have you, they would take their cattle down to the valley,
mm-hmm.
and send their kids to school.
Oh.
And his grandfather talks about someplace his aunt had that. One of his aunts. We got a lot of the information, but she had that in where he wrote That car took my mind. What was I saying?
I'll pause it so that you can think about it.
Help me.
You were talking about they would go down back to the valley and
okay.
They would go to school.
They went, and his grandfather herded cattle all around the Camelback Mountain and all around through there in the wintertime, you know, to feed on the feed.
Wow.
And then his grandfather, as he got older, he cowboyed when he was younger all over the state. He talked about being down at Wilcox and them shipping out 10,000 head of cattle one summer.
Wow. That's a lot.
Oh, it was beautiful grassland. Oh. Now it's all farms.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had this farm down there, and so he came up to and bought this cattle in 1900 in Aguila, okay. North of Aguila, or west of Aguila?
West of Aguila.
West of Aguila. And I wonder, until they moved up here, if he commuted by train.
Yeah.
But anyway, that would have been a faster way than the other.
Horseback
and what have you. So anyway, and then they moved up in, they were up in 1911, so they must have moved through. His baby brother, uncle, uh-huh. His youngest uncle was born in Wickenburg.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And they lived out, they had a two-story building, a house out in Sunset Canyon, west of Aguila.
Okay.
And how many uncles did you have? Uncle Harvey, Uncle Jess, Uncle Ori.
It was your kids, my kids, and our kids.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
So anyway, they ran the cattle over there,
uh-huh.
And then of course Kearney was raised and went to school, grade school. Kearney and Nell Moore went to school together in
good.
Aguila.
Oh wow! Wow. That's how they met, and that's how they.
Yeah. Right. So that was the story of a lot of that.
Yeah. Did you, did they bring their cattle over to Congress when they moved over here?
Yeah, in 1944.
Okay.
That's when the farm started in Aguila.
Okay.
And they had the best farm. I mean, not farm, but well.
Well, mm-hmm.
And those farmers really wanted that well bad.
Yeah. So then you moved all your cattle out to Congress, to this ranch right now.
Yeah.
And how big is your ranch here?
It's actually 22,000 acres.
Wow. Wow.
Or thereabouts.
Okay. And you still have cattle here?
Yes.
Yes? Back in the back there?
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, the guy, the cowboy that works for us, just took a load of cattle to the cattle sale up in Prescott today.
Okay.
And so, all we got right here until they start coming into water It's horses.
Okay. Yeah, I saw quite a bit of them coming into town. I saw also a plane. Do you fly the plane?
Not anymore. Oh. I used to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't bear to throw up. Well, that's another story. You want to hear?
Yeah, sure.
So we were out here on the ranch, and we came home in, like I said, of 1954, and the school board members came out, and they asked me if I would teach school in Congress. Their teacher had got discovered she had cancer, and actually they asked me at Christmas time, and had cancer, and so I told him I would. So when Christmas vacation was over, I came home and stayed with Kearney and Nell Moore, and went and taught school in Congress that year. Of course, I'd gone to country school, so it wasn't all that much, and it was a two-room schoolhouse at that time. And then Roy came home, and like I say, we moved, Kearney and Mother Moore moved to Congress, and we took over the ranch, and everything went pretty good until we had a pretty bad drought.
The drought of 57, 58.
Okay. And that was, we had our first son, Alan, is the reason I only taught one semester, because I told him I couldn't teach anymore. He was born in August.
Okay, yeah.
And so we did pretty good, and then, in the late 50s, I was expecting our second son, and in 56, 57, but it was got so dry, and our tanks are the feed was pretty good, but we ran out of water. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so we took our cattle back to a parker like they had done before and kept them. And my mother and dad lived there. My dad was with Power, and he worked for the Indian Agency down there.
Okay.
And so our son, but there's no doctors in Parker. So our second son was, but anyway, it happened just like before. We had a nurse, we had a teacher down at Parker. I guess she came to Parker and she didn't like it. And so she said she wouldn't teach there and she went back to California. So I don't know. But anyway, you know how it was a small town, they knew I was a teacher. So they asked me if I'd teach, and I said, "Well, I'll teach till Christmas," and so I started teaching, and Christmas came and went, and the second semester started, after Christmas, I told them, I said, "You're gonna have to find somebody." Valentine's came. And finally, at the end of February, they found a teacher to replace me.
Wow.
And my mother and I went back to Prescott, and where our second son was born.
Okay. Wow.
And then we had a really good winter, didn't we?
Yeah.
and lots of water.
Okay.
So we moved her cattle back up here, and Roy, every time he get a chance, he'd either get somebody. Oh, and let's see, no, that wasn't it. Anyway, we had pretty good, but we were still just having a hard time on the ranch. So in 19, when did you go to work for Kiewit?
I think it was 58.
They're putting Highway 93 in.
Okay.
Huh?
And they wanted to get water from Gibson Tank and from here. And tell them, let them have water if they give me a job.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was head of the Carpenters Union. He said, we'll get you in on carpenters. So I started as a carpenter for him.
Okay.
And worked for him for pretty near 20 years.
Wow.
He worked from the ground up to being the superintendent.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, with that extra money, every time it had some, while they were building the road through here, he'd rent some equipment and a guy from Kiewit, and they would build these, dig them deeper, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got all these tanks bigger and deeper, about 20 feet deep.
Wow.
And so Roy had bought an airplane so he could fly to his jobs.
Wow.
And this is the smallest one that he's ever had.
Wow.
We had a 182, we had our third son born in 1960, and so we had a 182 Cessna, and the Cessna was fine when we could put three little boys in the back, but then they grew up, got shoulders, wouldn't work. So we got, it's like a 206, it's the largest single motor Cessna made at that time, 205, sixth place. And I loved that plane. It was smooth. It was like a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Oh, it was nice. And we could go places and do vacations and...
Yeah. Where would you go?
Oh, we went all over.
All over? We went into British Columbia.
Oh, wow.
And in about 800 miles down into Mexico.
Wow.
And we went to Branson, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And we, you know,
yeah,
places that we wanted to go. Oh, and we flew, didn't we? We flew to Omaha, Nebraska. We had a grandson going to college back there, and we went to his graduation.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we had friends in Omaha, because that's where Kiewit's office was.
Okay.
So we had all kinds of different things.
Yeah. I grew up in Nebraska.
Yeah. You love Nebraska. So anyway, we did all of Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
And then he decided he had to come home because his father died.
Okay.
And so his mother and he couldn't even run it, you know, by a cowboy, with a cowboy. So we moved home in what?
71, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I was teaching here, wasn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was teaching in Congress again.
Okay.
I love Congress.
Did your boys go to Congress?
Our boys went through. Well, they started, you know, the older two started someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at at the Hoover Dam. They were building that road. Akiwa was building that road, and we could commute home really easy
mm-hmm.
from there. And so, our youngest son went to kindergarten in Boulder City.
Okay.
And I know Mark was in the third grade. What was Alan? Fifth grade or sixth grade, someplace.
Okay.
And then when that job was over, well, the boys and I moved home. And then Roy would fly to us. And the boys are old enough. Now, you got to understand, how old were you when you started driving on the ranch?
I think 11 or 12.
Yeah. Well, so was ours. And so if we needed to haul water someplace, our oldest son could haul the water. Our cowboy out here could pump it, and Alan could haul the water, and Roy was home on weekends to help work the cattle.
Yeah.
And so they...
It's a busy, busy life.
Yeah. It was a good life.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. A very enjoyable life.
Yeah. That's great. How do you feel this area has changed for the better or for the worse? Or do you feel it's changed?
I don't know. I like it.
Yeah.
And Congress has got a really good school.
Mm-hmm.
I taught in Wickenburg. We had to close our Congress school because we didn't have enough children.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my children from the time Jack was in the second grade. And the other boys were older, of course. And I taught school until they graduated. And then he said to me, "When are you going to retire?" Oh, I said, "I'm not ready." So the boys graduated from high school, and they went to college and got their degrees, and they were all out doing their thing. And Roy said to me, "Well, when are you going to retire?" I says, "Well, 88 sounds pretty good." So I taught, and the fall of 88, when I started the school, I told my principal and everybody else and myself, this is the last year. And so I prepared myself not to teach anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I retired and came home.
Wow.
And so we've been home, and I've been the runaround for him ever since.
That's great. That's wonderful.
And we went, but the thing that happened to us is in the fall of 2014, Roy had a bladder infection.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors, you know how they are in Wickenburg, they come maybe once a month, some mm-hmm. of them. Well, the specialist for that, what is it, urology,
mm-hmm.
Had just come the day before.
Oh, wow.
And so we had to go down, and we went to the Thunderbird Hospital, and he saw us down there. And 4 days in, Roy caught pneumonia.
Oh, no.
And we were in Phoenix for 2.5 months.
Oh, wow.
And we had therapy down there, and he'll go to sleep. He's got high blood pressure. And then we came up here and we had therapy here for him, but he just wasn't well enough to do everything. And we had hired Tanner Grantham. And so Tanner Grantham pretty well runs a ranch. And on weekends, our son Mark, he's a construction engineer.
Okay.
And he's worked for this down in the valley for 30 years.
Okay.
And he comes home, but they raised your kids here and so on.
Okay.
And he helps Tanner.
Okay.
And we just kind of watch a ranch and do our thing. And Roy was 6 months without an airplane.
Yeah.
And he bought that little airplane. He can't fly it, but it's there.
It's there for nostalgic reasons, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for...
Well, that's where we are up to now.
Yeah, for taking the time to be with me and talk to me. And your history is important for our towns and in our future generations. So thank you so much. And I look forward to maybe more interviews with you. And thank you. Is there anything else you would like to add to...
I think that's pretty well.
Okay. Roy, anything else you would like to add?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, thank you again. Thank you. I'm going
to
stop.
Oh, I have to tell you, I did get Cattleman of the Woman of the Year in 2007.
Great.
So I was worked very hard while we could be very active in helping our business.
Wonderful. Well, great. It's lovely. I'm going to stop this.